Future-Proof Extra from Newstalk.
Now, understanding the world around us is at the very core of science. Some people might say it's a foundational part of being a human being. But the natural world is big, and there's a lot of it left to be undiscovered. And that's just in this universe. But what about the other universes that we can't see? Well, Dr. Liu Jin Lim is a reader at King's College London in the Department of Physics. He joins me now. Eugene, we've talked about the multiverse a couple of times on this show, but maybe you might take us through where this idea of there being more than one universe, where did that come from?
So just to repeat, the multiverse is, as Jonathan said, is the idea that we might not be living in the only universe, and there are other universes out there that we haven't seen before, or we may possibly have no chance of seeing. So the important thing that I want to emphasize is that the multiverse is really not a theory. It's not an idea that we wake up one day as physicists and say, well, let's have multiverses. It is actually a consequence of some of the physical laws of physics that we are very confident with. So there are two possibilities, like two major way of actually generating a multiverse, if you like. One is using quantum mechanics, and one is a little bit more esoteric, but still quite well-founded. It comes from the early universe and string theory.
Yeah, so I think you make a really important point that, of course, the idea that there are multiple universes at the same time, possibly having very similar, because they're infinite, universes to ours, but maybe just slightly different, an idea that's been explored in science fiction. The idea that there are multiple universes and our universe, that is everything we can see and experience, it's not just a funny idea. It's a really weird consequence of the mathematics that comes from our understanding so far of how everything fits together.
Exactly. It is a consequence of our theories. And if you just take the theories that we know and love, and many of the theories has been confirmed using experiments, and just run it to its logical conclusion. And fortunately or unfortunately, one of the logical conclusion is that there may exist a multiverse.
Yeah. So take me through that, because when you do the numbers, you see that our Newtonian experience of the world has four dimensions, right? If you imagine from maths, they're the x-axis, the y-axis, and the z-axis, and the three dimensions of space, the 3D space. And then the fourth dimension is time. And that's all we have that we experience. But when you run the maths, Eugene, you realize that actually we need a bunch more dimensions that we can't experience or observe yet.
That's right. Well, at least this is what a lot of us think is right. So I think what Jonathan is alluding to is string theory, right? So you might have heard or read in popular science media that there are extra dimensions floating around, which, as Jonathan said, that we don't experience because we only experience the three spatial dimensions and one time dimensions. And where did that come from? Well, it come from the idea that it's come from the idea of string theory. So why should we care about string theory? So string theory is our best hope right now of unifying quantum mechanics and gravity. And it is a very, very difficult thing to try to unify these theories. It turns out that string theory does it brilliantly. It has all in its mathematical structure the necessary tools to make this unification happen. Unfortunately, or fortunately again, one of the price that you pay for this unification is the idea that you need more than four dimensions. In fact, you need at least 10 dimensions. So this is where the notion of these extra dimensions come from.
10 dimensions to figure out the maths. Now, it is possible that some of that mathematics isn't quite right, but as you say, we're getting to this idea of a multiverse using stuff that we've seen and for the most part, we've actually proven. And that kind of gets you thinking about what these other dimensions could be. You mentioned string theory. Can you explain what exactly string theory is and how it helps us imagine new dimensions?
Well, okay. So string theory is the idea that the fundamental thing that makes up the entire universe or the entire multiverse is not what we normally think of as point particles, or particles that in a point like an electron or a neutrino, which oftentimes is kind of a particle that is has just one point, like zero dimension, if you like. So string theory suggests that the really fundamental building blocks of the entire universe are really strings, like just extended things that has not just a point, but actually a line that flies through time. And the idea, and just to make the mathematics work, we need more than 4 dimensions. And the reason is slightly technical. It has something to do with the mathematical consistency of trying to describe gravity or the idea of the 4-dimensional universe, the particles that we see. And I'm not quite sure how to explain this. I'm not sure how to explain this without going to super technical details.
I guess this idea of the string, you described it as what we think of as a point, a point in physical space, is actually a line rather than a point. Yeah. And actually that gives us that, if you sort of think of it as having a hidden back door to it, to another property or another dimension, that is the way I kind of think about it. I kind of think about it as like rooms that are connected in a video game or something.
I think that's kind of a good analogy. I think the struggle that I have right now is trying to explain the why we need 10 dimensions or more.
Yeah.
That is actually quite mathematical. And actually, it's a really, really good question. And if you ask a string theory, they probably just would stammer because they're going to tell you about the cancellations of like mathematical equations and, you know, the Z Riemann zeta function and why it needs to be 10 dimensions. So I don't think people actually know the answer to that. Maybe I should actually say that why you need more than 10 dimensions is hidden inside the consistency of the mathematics. And if you really push hard and ask the question, why is the physical intuition, I don't think people have the answer to that. I think it's an unknown. It's an unsolved problem.
We do know of other states beyond what we used to be able to observe, right? This idea of superpositions of matter. Can you explain how that gives us an idea of how we might imagine a multiverse?
So quantum mechanics is fundamentally what governs the entire universe. So we have very, very strong evidence to believe that everything that we see today is described by quantum mechanics, including your cat, your particles, and basically the entire universe. And one of the things about quantum mechanics that oftentimes is very hard to describe because it's so far out of our everyday experience is the idea of superposition. And just to use the proverbial Schrodinger cat example, which is, you know, what people normally use to try to describe this idea, is that if you put a cat in a box, you close the box, you cannot see the cat. And then the inside the box, there's a mechanism which that get triggered by, say, the decay of tritium into helium. And if the decay happens, the mechanism will release a gas that will put the cat to sleep. And if not, then the cat will stay awake. And then the question is that without opening the box, can you tell whether the cat is asleep or awake? And quantum mechanics basically says that the cat is both asleep and awake. And the word that we use is that the cat is in a superposition of awakeness and asleep, or sleepfulness, I guess. So which one is which? And quantum mechanics says it's both. So how do you reconcile both? So this is actually a good question, and it requires us to come up with an interpretation of what the mathematics is telling us. And one of the more popular interpretation is the so-called many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics. And in this interpretation, it states or it asserts that both are happening just in different universes. So if you like, the mathematical object that we use, the superposition of the cat in the sleep and awake state, are actually both real, and they just exist in two different universes, and they are, these universes doesn't talk to each other.
I have perhaps a better and more relevant to Irish audiences example. There was a superposition happened on a macro scale in Clifton in Galway, Eugene, in which some politicians and some VIPs had turned up to a golf dinner that was in a hotel, and there were 80 people at it, and you're only supposed to have 50 people in a room. And in this hotel, they had a room that was both two rooms and one room at the same time. And depending on which universe you existed in, you could say that this room had was perfectly fine when it came to COVID restrictions, or it was breaking the law when it came to COVID restrictions. And so this hotel room in Clifton was in a state of superposition for the evening of the golf dinner.
Exactly. And just take this example that Jonathan brought up and extend it to the entire universe. So every time there is a choice where you have to actively make to choose a direction, like in terms of the box with the cat, you have to open it. When such a moment occurred, what the universe does is that I'm going to split this into two possible universes. And so waiting for us, the observer, to actually make a decision. So it sounds a bit crazy, but in terms of the mathematics, it's perfectly fine. It is completely logical and consistent with the mathematics of quantum mechanics.
Mm. I think sliding doors with Gwyneth Paltrow, we've talked about it a lot, but it's a really good way of thinking about this idea of a multiverse, that many options are open to us. And indeed, we could take all of those options, but the only option we go down, that's the universe we're in. There's another universe in which I went down another path. And that's an interesting way to think about multiverses. Why are you interested in multiverses, Eugene?
I'm interested in multiverse because I was led down to be interested in it by the theories that I study. So my research is focused on the early universe and how the universe actually began. So how did the Big Bang get set up, for example? How did we get to the stage where the universe wanted to go bang? And the theory that we believe is what sets up the Big Bang, or if you like, the theory of the Big Bang that we have, is the idea of inflation. So which is that in the very, very early time, when the universe is just beginning, what it does is that the expansion accelerates. So we all know that we live in a universe which is expanding. But right now, but in the early times, this expansion is not just expanding. The expansion rate is increasing at every time. So the expansion is accelerating. And this is the idea of inflation. And it was proposed in the 80s to solve several problems. And one of the problems that it really solved very nicely is the question, why does the universe look the same everywhere? So if you go out in the night sky and you look at different directions in the sky, in the larger scale, the universe looks kind of the same. And this is a problem, in a sense, it's a question, why does it do that? And inflation is a theory that solved that problem. However, if you take this theory and just run it to its logical conclusion, you will find that this theory will actually generate many, 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 an infinite number of small of bubble universes that look like ours.
Can we prove something like this? Or is the fact that these other dimensions are essentially not in this universe, does that limit us? Are we ever able to go outside our own universe and observe what could be on the other side?
We call it inflationary generated multiverses. Actually, we possibly can. That's the interesting thing about this idea. And the first thing is that they're actually not living in the different dimensions. They're actually living in our dimensions. They are living in our happy 3+1 three dimension of space and dimension of time. So they are actually just out there. And in principle, in fact, you can actually hope that these universes might touch each other. So they are not living in a different dimension. They are just living, if like, side to side. So it could be that our universe might run into another universe that is our neighbor universe, if you like. And when universes collide, things happen. And when you run two universes together, and what we hope that maybe this the scars of such a collision might be present in.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense to me. If we're talking about a different dimension, surely these universes could exist on top of our universe, like literally inhabit the same space, but because it's in a different dimension, we don't experience it. Why does the other universe need to be physically somewhere else?
Because in this model of multiverses, the one that I just explained, the one where the acceleration of universe in the early time actually generate many, many universes, those universes are actually not in the extra dimensions. They're actually in our dimension.
Really, really far away. But then, are they really universes?
It is then a question of semantics, in the sense that they can be. When we use the word multiverse, we describe that universes that either look like ours or not, and they are in a sense self-contained. So in a way that they could have their own physical laws, and those universes that I've just described could have their own physical laws.
Yeah, so but if we could literally get on a spaceship, and if we had infinity time, we could physically get there. Then to me, that's the same universe.
I would not disagree with that. I think that is, if you use the word universe to encompass everything that is in our, that exists, then I think that I would agree with you. I think this, in a sense, is kind of a matter of semantics, that whether or not you call them universe, our universe.
Oh, or man, look, you physicists need to figure that out, because you can't just say multiple universes when you actually mean just a bit further out than our experience, or beyond our understanding of galaxies. Like, to me, if we're talking about the universe, we're talking about every physical thing you could touch, or every piece of matter or energy that you could visit if you had infinite fuel and infinite time. That to me is what a universe is. If you physicists are messing around with the definition of universe, then we're in big trouble, because this is tricky enough as it is.
I think that's a good point, but then I will counter by saying that you can't touch all the universes, unfortunately, the one I described. In fact, most of the universes are, because of the fact that the universe is accelerating, and this acceleration actually is stretching the space-time at a rate faster than the speed of light.
It's still within the same ballpark of our universe. It's just very far away and getting further away. Just because we can't reach it doesn't mean it's not in our universe. That's my thoughts anyway.
Go ahead.
But you're saying that theoretically we could, if these things collided into each other, we could actually detect them in some respect.
Yes.
What does it mean for our life choices if there are an infinite number of universes running the simulation of us, in which we make a different decision? Can you give us some philosophy before we go, Eugene? What do you think it means? If there's another version of you that's a bad Eugene, you know, maybe you're a crook, maybe you're an astrologist. You know, it could be anything. What does it mean for us if there are multiple versions of us doing all the good things we could do in the world, but also all the bad things?
I can't answer for other people. If you ask me whether or not I wake up in the middle of the night asking myself, what am I doing? Or, you know, having a bad day, or say, what am I doing? And I think for me, the idea that there could be a version of Eugene, better than a good Eugene or a bad Eugene, out there doing some maybe similar things, or maybe something that's completely different.
Killing it. Like, there's a version of you that solved string theory and has resolved the entire standard model.
Yes, or somebody who is
who spilled soup all over his shirt.
So there's
two versions of Eugene.
Or being a really, or being a football player for Liverpool Football Club, right?
There you go.
There you go. I think it sort of comfort me, and you know,
it
makes me feel like I am part of something much bigger than I am.
Yeah. That, you know, they do say that about Liverpool Football Club. You never walk alone. It's been brilliant speaking with you, Eugene Lim. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.